Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @RightStream and hashtag #RightStream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
You know, it's not humid, and you need a sweater in the middle of the night. You don't need the AC anymore.
Well, those of us who live in South Florida, you're talking, you know. I think we have a lot of envious people out there who wish they could live in our wonderful city, in our area. Yes.
But you still can go to the swimming pool at the beach in the morning. Hello, everybody, and welcome again to our weekly show, Family Power Hour, the Right Stream. And it's a talk show. Let me remind you, it's not a advice show, it's a talk show. And we're dealing with the family issues. That's
I am Sheena Benjamin Wise, your family law attorney. Out here, I'm serving the Broward County area in Fort Lauderdale and Florida. And my wonderful co-host is...
I'm Dr. Billy Eisenberg. I'm family therapist and clinical psychology. And here in South Florida, and my phone number is 561-271-7106. And you know this, I guarantee you, status your result after the first session.
And we are very excited tonight to have a very special guest with us to talk about the impact of health on women, and more specifically, the struggle of breast cancer with women. So welcome, Lisa.
Thank you both for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Oh, it's October. It's a breast cancer awareness, and you know we love you to be here on the show. So tell us about yourself a little bit.
Well, I'm currently 51 years old, and I've been dealing with breast cancer for 22 years. Fortunately, but unfortunately, it goes both ways. And I was my story started when I was 29 years old. I was misdiagnosed because of my age. I had no family history. I knew nothing about breast cancer. The doctors had told me what I was feeling in my breast was like calcification, and that my body was chemically changing because I was turning 30. So being I had no family history, didn't know anybody, I assumed that was what it was happening. But somewhere along the line, my body and I had to talk, and I knew better that something was not right. So I went for a second opinion, and that's when my life changed.
Have a second sense about your body, and when you listen to your body, you know, you really seem to, you know, get it, where sometimes your doubt can cause you...
Oh, it's so true. Especially in the last 22 years that I've been dealing with this illness, it's ironic how I've unfortunately had two other reoccurrences since then, but with each one, I kind of had a sense that something wasn't right, and that's why it's so important, I feel, for my that if my body is communicating to me, and I can't explain how that happens, it just happens. I know that I need to pay attention. But with that said, I also make sure that I take care of my body. So it's like building a relationship with it. And I think if you don't have that kind of relationship where you take care of it or eat properly or exercise, you may not be.
What I'm hearing from you, and again, let me remind you, it's advice show. It's a talk show. It's not advice show. I'm sorry, but what I hear for you, Lisa, that listen to your body. Can you give any kind of, from your experience, what do you mean listen to your body?
Well, for me, I guess with the first occurrence, you know, I was misdiagnosed for 9 months, so they had put me on some medication that actually made me gain weight. It was a male hormone, which when I filled the prescription, the pharmacist himself had called my name, and I thought he was just calling, you know, to help the line. And he pulled me aside, and he says, why are you taking this? So that was the first flag.
Okay.
And then when I started having some pain, so when you asked, listening to my body, I put all the pieces together, and with the pain issues was the first red flag. And
the pain in your breath?
Yes, because there was also mentioned to me that if it was breast cancer, it would be the size of a pea. If it was breast cancer, there'd be no pain. Well, again, I was uneducated, so I thought...
So that's misinformation.
Right.
Okay.
Completely. Okay. And it had nothing to do with my age. It was just a matter of the doctor didn't know what he was talking about, obviously. And, you know, I just... That's when I guess I took all the pieces together, and mentally I listened, and then with the pain from the body and other issues, the weight gain, you know, it just... My body wasn't normal as it had been for so many years. So there were several issues, not just the physical aspect, but the mental aspect as well.
So you, from your experience, you say that every young teenage needs to start to check herself. I mean, not to wait. You know, because usually you say that when you run 45, 50, then you need to start to
do
your...
Well, the guidelines with the American Cancer Society is 40 is when you should get your first mammogram. I'm not from the medical field, but I do know from experience of dealing with this illness that I've been told that once a woman starts menstruating, which could be any age, that they should, you know, at least pay attention and be comfortable with their body. Or, I don't know the medical suggestion, but do breast health exams, which is, of course, early detection saves you from the road that I have traveled on. And, you know, to me, that's very important. Get to know your breast, and if you feel a lump, write it down, and as each month comes and you notice it's bigger or disappeared, somewhat keep a journal. And I know that's what has been recommended to me, and that's what I've done over the years.
It's amazing, Eddie. I can't use it again. You need to check once a month
by doing breast self exams.
Yeah.
And for those of you that don't know how to do it, there's so many websites out there available, even the American Cancer Society, where you just do, you know, how to do a breast self exam or ask your doctor, and your doctor will show you. Because if you're not in tune, and this is, again, listening to your body, if you're not in tune with your body, you can't depend on doctors to be your advocates. You have to be your own advocate. And, again, that goes back to listening to your body.
And this show is really geared toward empowering families and empowering not only women but members of the family to really be educated and really know what it is that, you know, is good for you.
Right.
And as a parent, you know, how do you teach or how do you approach the subject with a child who's just come on and become a woman?
Well, I think nowadays, for myself, I grew up with the generation of the 50s and 60s and 70s old school where you don't communicate. Nowadays, I can't even imagine being a parent. I'm not one, but there's so much out there that it's almost hard to hide anything. Not that you would want to hide it, but what I'm getting at is they're already aware of the illness and they may not understand it. Because now with October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I mean, this is national. The kids know, well, what pink is about, or they know, oh, pink equals breast cancer. You know, like, they have an association. So I think as a parent, it's the responsibility to maybe sit down, and you know as a parent what you can explain to your child at what age. And, you know, if they're more of a teenager, they'll understand it a little bit better, and also that there is more hope, you know, when I was diagnosed 22 years ago, and even this was in the 90s, you said the word cancer, and everybody says, oh, instant death, or you don't talk about it. That's all changed, thank goodness, because we want people to talk about it. We want children to understand it. We want children to know that if mommy gets breast cancer, she has a chance or there's hope. And so I, you know, again, I can't give any advice. I'm not a parent, but I think as a parent, you know what you can share with your children.
But I think that in school they're doing something that...
You know, as a matter of fact, as a lawyer, you know, I kind of tend to pay attention to certain stories that come out when the Supreme Court or cases that are filed. And actually, this morning I came across where two middle school girls in Pennsylvania actually sued their school system because they were wearing bracelets that said, I love boobies. And it was a breast awareness campaign. And the school system thought that this was disruptive and it was lewd and it was, you know, inappropriate. And they actually won. They won their right to wear their bracelets, and you know, and it's, and they're middle school students.
Right.
And I
thought, you see, it's out there.
You know,
there.
I thought, wow.
That's
right.
But as you said, I think it's school system has something to talk about this. I mean, that's because of the October awareness that we're talking about a pioneer. I think it was Betty Ford. We need to mention her. On the September 28, 1974, she was the first lady when she got to the White House and she diagnosed with breast cancer. She refused to ignore. She was all over. She gave a very big article to the Time. And she was, as I said, the pioneer, was talking about her situation. And I think that she gave another opportunity to a lot of women to say, not just the famous can diagnosed with the breast cancer,
right.
and I really think that she did a greater service to this women that they can talk about this. So just remember that Betty Ford, it was 1974, and it was after the first week when he became a president. So, at the White House, and she was all over, and she said that I still want to talk about this. We're talking about women, but I think just men as well can get breast cancer.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Do you have a statistic?
I don't, unfortunately.
But I have a question. We talked about Betty Ford. Is there anybody that you admire and you recognize as somebody who is worth mentioning in this arena of education and health?
Well, I think there's so many people from all walks of life, from famous people to common folk like myself, and I can say this much. When I got sick the first time, I got very involved in advocacy, and you know, maybe that's not for everybody, but for me, I felt like it helped me make sense of why I got sick. And when I started getting involved in so many things, one thing that I'll never forget and admire is how over the years of time, how the HIV organization had gotten movie stars to wear a red ribbon at the Oscars. I will never forget that first year. And to me, that's what made me thrive to speak and get the message out about breast cancer. I can't say who was responsible for that, but that was my encouragement. what have you. Now, as far as, you know, current day, I mean, you know, Angelina Jolie coming you know, forward with her situation, I think was very empowering, and I think it gave notice to women what would I do, should I do. You know, it brought into their minds what they would do or how they would handle it.
Yeah.
But there's just so many to name. I think anybody that speaks about the illness, to me, is a pioneer of getting the message across.
Yeah, absolutely right. I was posting to them at the Facebook when I mentioned the show. I posted the photo with Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt because, you know, she was the symbol of sex and two of them, and she has no problem.
She is.
And she has no problem to talk. And if she mentioned the BRCA gene, but we're going to go to the commercial, and we're going to talk about the BRCA gene, what we know about this, and we'll be right back. You can call us, and you can call 347-945-7246. Again, 347-945-7246. It's New York number, so it's a local number. You can call, and we'd love to hear from you, women and men, from your experience, and we will be right back.
Sunday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern, tune in to Right Stream Radio Network for Just Believe with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis. Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network.
Back to the Family Power Hour. Tonight we're speaking with Lisa Bocard about
and before we left to the commercial, we and again listen to other Lisa, and the you heard the commercial,
yes.
And at the live stream, and she has amazing show. But go back to the question about the BRCA gene. Did you do the BRCA gene?
I just recently had the test done, just to verify my course of treatment for my future, because the second time the cancer came back, which was 10 years ago, I was diagnosed now with metastatic breast cancer, which takes me to a different level from when we were first diagnosed. So for future treatments, we did the test, and ironically, I am tested negative for breast cancer genetically. So where it came from, we have no idea.
Explain the different stages. I know there are four stages, at least. Can you tell us?
Well, the first stage, and again, I'm not a medical professional, so I may not be 100% right in my explanation, but the first stage usually is a small tumor, doesn't require a lot of treatment. Second stage might be a little bit more aggressive, where treatment may be involved, like radiation, lumpectomy. Third is what I was diagnosed with the first time, which is a very aggressive tumor, which can lead into, say it's fatal, but women are living today in stage four with breast cancer due to the advances of treatment. So it is a 1-4 process, but just because they say four is fatal, maybe not be so true anymore. Because, again, of advancement in science and technology.
We have a lot of questions, but I want you to tell about your organization. What's your organization doing to a lot of women? It's very important.
Well, we have an organization that's called the Lisa Bocard Breast Cancer Fund, which I did not name after myself. I'm not a narcissist or conceited, but it was an honor and tribute to me, which my brother, Vince Bocard, and his wife, Terry Bocard, named after me because of all the years that I've been involved with many organizations on national levels and local levels. As a family, we've always given back. And so when the cancer came back 10 years ago with not a promising prognosis, they felt like we should do this together, and whatever Lisa's future may be, I can be a part of. And what we do is we provide free mammograms to women that are indigent or underinsured. And when we started this 10 years ago, we were screening women just within the Coral Springs city limits, because that's where our home is. And because of everyone's fundraising efforts and just getting the name out there and what have you, we're very proud to say we screen 95% of Broward County. So we've reached leaps and bounds. 1,200 women, and 57 were positive for cancer, and to date, they're still alive today. Because of our relationship with Broward Health, our women go from Broward Health Coral Springs to Broward Health General, which is downtown, where they will get into various programs through various grants or get right into the system, et cetera. So they do receive their chemotherapy, their radiation, their mastectomy, whatever care they need. We just don't say, yes, you have breast cancer. And as long as we have additional funding, we're able to provide the biopsies to them, the ultrasounds. You know, we try to take them as far as we can, but our true mission is to provide the mammogram.
So if there was any women there that listen to the show, who should they call? I mean, what's the number to find? How does they find about?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they go to what?
What they can do is go to browardhealth.org/Lisa Bocard Fund, and they'll find information on the Women's Center, or they can contact the Broward Health Women's Center. For more information, they can call 954-344-344. That's correct.
Yes.
Go to the website first.
Go to our Facebook Family Power Hour, and you have the information there about this organization. And it's very important. So this is for the women that don't have health insurance.
Correct. Or underinsured. Some women have a very high copay. And if, you know, they're not able to afford the screening, then everyone has to qualify. There is a screening process.
Yeah.
So if they go through this screening process and they qualify, then, of course, they'll get the service they need.
So please take advantage. If you don't have insurance and you're qualified and you need to do the checkup, just don't take a risk. Just go to the website, the Lisa Bocard website, and just go and check it. It's very important.
How do you encourage women to do the screening? I think there's a lot of fear associated with maybe I don't want to know, kind of.
Well, there's several fears. One fear, which kind of drives me crazy, and I guess, I don't know if it's because of how I experienced or got to breast cancer with being misdiagnosed for 9 months, is everyone says, well, it hurts. Well,
what hurts
the test.
Oh.
And for me, it's like I've been dealing with it for so many years. I've had 27 surgeries. If you want to talk about hurt, let's talk about the aftermath of dealing with breast cancer. So I say a few seconds of your life, literally a few seconds, can save your life. That's all it takes. And then with the fear aspect is, wouldn't you want to know earlier with the early detection and maybe prevent a mastectomy or chemo? You may find it so early that you just need a lumpectomy or maybe nothing, where they watch you down the road. So I think it's important that we don't allow the fear to overcome what the outcome could be, which could possibly be death. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
As a clinical psychologist, I was sitting in my office, I know it's a lot of people wants to be in denial, but I find out more and more women wants to know what's going on. They're taking control of their life. Even they're afraid, you know, because of the shock, you know, that you need to go to do the test.
Right.
But I don't think I met even one to say, I don't want to do it. I cannot say about the BRCA genes. I know a lot of people that refuse to do the BRCA genes.
I don't think the audiences understand what you're saying.
All right. So the BRCA gene, it's the blood test that you can take, and you can know if you can have the gene to have the diagnosis as a breast cancer. So it's really a simple blood work. It costs a lot of money. It's not covered by insurance, not all the insurance. But you can do a blood work and you can find out if you are going to have a breast cancer.
Mm.
So if it's genetic, if it's one of your family,
right,
you will know that. That's why they ask the people if there was any cancer in your family, do the BRCA gene.
There is a presumption that breast cancer or cancer is genetic. What are the other than smoking, what are the other?
Not genetics, environment. The food that we eat now,
our food.
You know, our weight attributes to it. If you're not, if you're obese, that doesn't help, because what you're doing is you're putting pressure on so many different organs and what have you, and the body isn't healthy. I mean, there's just so many variations other than genetic. And for me, I'm a prime example. I don't carry the gene. How did I get it at 29?
Yeah.
I wasn't a drinker. I wasn't a smoker. I was working out in a gym, and that's how I found I had the cancer. It was dumb luck.
Wow.
So I was, you know, healthy at 29 years old. And how did it happen? Who knows? I lived near a power plant, which was right down the street from us. Could it have been that? I don't know. I mean, you know, there's so many variations that hopefully one day we will know, other than genetically.
We have a caller. So, good
Hi.
Evening.
Good evening.
Yes, good evening.
Okay. I wanted to know if there were any suggestions for friends or family of someone who has discovered that they have cancer. It's like, what advice do you have on how they can support someone who's been diagnosed?
Question. Let me just repeat the question. How you can deal with a family to find out one of the family member diagnosed with the cancer? This is your question?
Yes.
All right, Lisa. Thank you for the question. Yes.
Well, from my experience, I find that continue being who you are. You know, I know that it's very shocking to hear the news as a family member, but it's important to continue to treat that person, whomever it may be, your wife, your sister, your mother, the same way that you loved them before the diagnosis, and talk to them about it. You know, share your feelings with them. My family and I were very open, and, you know, their positiveness is what fuels me, and me being so positive fuels them, and I think it's just so important. Don't change who you are. Sometimes it prevents people from continuing the relationship, or your fear, you know, may push you away from whomever that person is. But I think as long as you're open and you share, you know, I think that's important. And one thing that I always enjoy from my family and even friends is if I'm going through treatment or something and I haven't heard from them, a little card in the mail or sometimes flowers will arrive. Because some 9 out of 10, usually when those things arrive is when I'm having a bad day. And it just changes your whole day around. And I think that, you know, just talk about it, and don't be afraid to ask questions, and also be there for that person. You know, sometimes going to a doctor's appointment is difficult, especially when you're going to be getting some news. So, you know, make yourself available to that person so that they know that they can depend on you and share with you their fear and what have you. I mean, that's what I know from my experiences.
Yeah, I think to talk about a topic, even if it's, you know, if it's not easy and ask the right question, don't be afraid to ask questions. I think knowledge is power. So if you know what's going on, you know more and you don't have any assumption. Even it's really, really scary. But be open, don't be afraid to ask questions.
And I think it's also important, and you can tell me whether or not this is correct, but I think the person who has been diagnosed needs to be around positive energy, positive people, and
oh, absolutely.
Not the, you know, the woe is me or woe, you know, the
absolutely.
People who can really bring you down and say.
That is so true, not just during the situation of meaning treatments and surgery, but even the after fact for even myself. It's very difficult to be around negative people. And if I find that whether it's a family member or a friend of mine whom I love very much and they're just not in a good place at this moment, I'm like, no, that's okay. I'll call you later. You know, even when I went for treatment, you know, I was doing chemo twice a month last year for a year. And sometimes I felt like I needed to be by myself because the people that wanted to come with me were either on their phone. They weren't there for me. So I guess that would be another piece of advice is if you are with that person, be with them 100%. Don't just be there because you want to be, truly be there for them and sit with them. And if they're doing chemo, you know, bring snacks for them or share with them and laugh and don't make it so sad and heavy because it's hard enough sitting there getting this treatment. But to see someone that you love so much being just as depressed or sad, that's not helping the situation.
Did you answer to your question, dear?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Thank you, and all the best. And thank you for calling. You said about the side effects. Can you talk about the side effects?
As far as some treatment?
Yes.
Well, if someone has to go through chemotherapy, that's another thing that, you know, kind of gets me in regards to people. I've heard people say they don't want to do chemo because they don't want to lose their hair. And I'm like, okay, you got two choices in life when you do chemo. Either you want to live or you don't live. I understand chemo is very scary, but it has, whatever the medical industry has done is not, from my experience, has not been as toxic as it was 22 years ago. But yes, you're going to get sick. You are going to lose your hair. But you know what? You're going to get better. You're not going to have a bad day 365 days a year. Your hair is going to grow back. But if you opt out not to do chemo, then at least continue with either holistic treatment or something to give your body a chance to fight this illness and then repair itself. But for me, losing my hair is not an I want to say a positive option. Like, I'll lose it for as long as I need to, as long as I'm here. I don't care if I have hair. It's about life. It's not about my hair.
I make it 3 years ago, and you didn't have hair this day. And I remember you've been so sexy. I mean, that's what I mean, so feminine, so sexy. I don't even pay attention to you have hair because what I see is just the big eyes, blue eyes just looking at me. So you can be sexy without hair, you
absolutely.
Know? Yeah,
absolutely.
I think that's a stigma that a lot of women have to really embrace who they are, their beauty, and that's what's so powerful about Angelina Jolie. You know, she just felt like she needed to remove her breasts, and it was like not part of her concern.
Right.
Your beauty is from within, and
absolutely.
It's not associated with the things that,
well,
you know.
Well, I think that it's important not to change who you are or your sexuality when you are diagnosed with breast cancer. Losing a breast, I will take off a breast over losing my hand or losing my eyesight. I mean, to me, I can get reconstruction, which I have done. My whole process when I got sick the first time, for every negative, I found the positive. So, you know, with that said, I continued to wear makeup. I continued to put on big earrings. I didn't change who I was. I had to tweak it a little bit, maybe spend an extra 30 minutes getting dressed because I had to pencil in eyebrows. but I wasn't going to allow it to change who I was. And, you know, if the inner beauty in me shined through how I carried myself, why would I allow, you know, cancer was taking so much from me. Why would I allow it to
give it more?
To give it more, yeah. Absolutely.
I need to share something. We need to go to the, I need to share something personal, but we need to go to the break.
Yes, you're listening to the Family Power Hour. One more time, my name is Sheena Bedrian-Wise. I'm a family law attorney in South Florida. My number is 954-783-9737. And my marvelous co-host,
I'm Dr. Billy Eisenberg. I'm clinical psychologist and family therapist in South Florida, in Boca. 561-271-7106. And even the website.
Yes. And you can send questions or review our website at www.wiselawoffice.com. We also, you can tweet us at FBWiseLaw or at Billy, Dr. Billy, with one L, and send us your questions, your comments. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Give us your, you know, share if you want to share your experiences with tonight's topic. We'd love to hear from you. And
I just want to give my my website. It's www.dreisenberg.com. And you know what? Usually we're so good to give us information, but we so tweet about you. But
oh,
yeah. Sorry. So,
I'm sorry.
We forgot everything about it. It's not about us. It's about you. And, but let me remind you, it's a talk show. It's not advice show.
Yes.
And let me give you the number you can call, 347-945-7246, and I repeat, 347-945-7246, and we're going to go to commercial.
Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network. Tune in to Military Monday with host John D. Gresham, author, military historian, and journalist. John delves into a unique aspect of U.S. military history, as well as current events and issues affecting our men and women in uniform. Featuring exceptional guests, military experts, and authors, Military Monday with John D. Gresham entertains, informs, and encourages listeners to support those who put it all on the line for freedom. Military Monday with John D. Gresham. Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Family Power Hour. We're here tonight with Lisa Bocart. Dr. Billy and I are having a fascinating conversation, and we're really involved. And gracious that you're here
to
tonight.
I want to share some, before the break, I want to share something with you. My mother passed away for breast cancer 10 years ago. And when she diagnosed, it was a long time ago, these days, you know, that didn't know what to do. And after the surgery, she refused to wear a head. She refused, mm-hmm. those days where people look at you like you have any kind of disease.
Mm-hmm.
She was a very, very beautiful lady. And she, every place she was talking about this. What I remember that when she got the surgery, what she was worried that to leave the cleavage. She said,
yes.
Leave the cleavage. And she didn't have any problem just to talk about this. And I remember she almost forced us after the surgery. She called me to the room and she said, you need to see. And I couldn't see it. She said, you need to look and see. There's nothing wrong with my body. And it's remember you have so many Photoshop that picture that you
I have an exhibit called the Cure Package, and I had always wanted to be a fashion photographer, but life took me a different way. And when I got sick the first time, I thought how cool it would be to photograph myself bald, and it was really more of an artistic experience. And so I hunted around for photographers, and nobody quite knew the kind of shots I had in my mind. And I met someone who, ironically, her grandmother had breast cancer, so we clicked right away. And I shared with her my thoughts and the kind of shots I wanted to shoot. So the exhibit's been done in three stages. One is the first stage, which is before the mastectomy. And they're done very artistically. They're not, like, you know, in a park type setting. They're, when you look at the pictures, you see a story. And within the pictures themselves, I have, each one has a name, and then I express my feelings on one. Like, there's a shot of me, which looks like I'm getting chemo.
and it's called Tributary. And my quote is, as much as I hated chemotherapy, it was my pathway to life. So you're not only looking at a set of 15 pictures, but you're experiencing my thoughts during that time. And after the mastectomy, we continued to do more photographs because it comes into play after mastectomy is sexuality. Women don't want to, you know, possibly make love to their husband or their boyfriend. They're ashamed. And, you know, me being me, I had to turn that around, of course. So the photographs are done very tastefully. Mm-hmm. And then after that, which was many years later, where before the cancer came back, it was a closure to the pictures, and the last picture is called Healed, and it says I didn't die. And it's the only black, it's the only colored picture, and it's a picture of me holding up a young child up in the air on the beach. So someone, when they see the exhibit, it currently is at the Woman Center at Broward Health where it hangs permanently. And one woman the other day just recently shared with me that when she was waiting for her mammogram and she saw it, she became very scared as she started with the first picture. And then as she went through the whole photograph, all the photographs, I should say, she said, you know what, if it is a, you know, a positive reading, I can do this.
Wow.
And so it's very powerful in the sense that it I call it a care package because it is a stepping stone process. And when I had an exhibit one evening, I had a couple, a husband and wife that came to see it, and then, you know, the wife went and spoke with some people, and the husband came up, and he said to me, he says, I have to give you a hug, and I'm like, okay, I'll take
sure.
hugs from strangers. You're kind of cute, too. And he said, I'm embarrassed to say, he said, my wife has had breast cancer. She hasn't gone through reconstruction yet, and we have a 2- or 3-year-old daughter that she used to bathe with, and I don't let her because of how she looks. And I said, really? He goes, well, he says, you know what, I'm truly embarrassed to say that. And he says, and after seeing your pictures, I'm going to go home and take a shower with my family.
Wow.
So when I did these pictures, I had no idea the impact that they could have.
Where did the exhibit?
At the Woman Center at Broward Health. They're in the Woman Center where we do the mammograms and bone density testing, et cetera, which is over in Coral Springs on Coral Hills.
It's always
there. Actually, it's not there. It won't be there tomorrow because it's been in Miami for the whole month at a different place.
Where in Miami? Maybe the people in Miami can go. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, they already packed it up.
I'm picking it up tomorrow.
Okay. But as of Friday, it will be back in the
okay.
Women's Center.
You're talking about sexuality and breast cancer. From your experience with other women, what you can tell about it?
Well, starting with myself, at 29, I was single, and they hand you a book that says chemotherapy in you. And towards the end of the book, it talks about sexuality. And in it, it had said, now this, again, was 22 years ago. I'm really hoping that the mentality has changed over a course of time. But it said, this may be a time that you and your partner should hold hands. And it was almost like shying a woman away from expressing
wow.
her sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, me being me, I didn't pay attention to that book. And I think it's so important because it goes back to being true to yourself, not letting the cancer rip another part of yourself away from you. There's nothing to be ashamed of by having one breast or no breast. And I think for me, it's more of an intimate time with my partner because you're fighting for your life. So why would you not want to express that physically, which is, you know, what being together is about. You're expressing love and feelings and what have you. So I embrace my sexuality, and being at a young age, I think it's, you know, no matter what age, why would you stop being sexual?
Yes, but you're so strong, and you know, for you, no, it's not, you don't take no for answer. I mean, you don't read any instruction, any book, whatever you want to do, but I don't think so many women like you, what do you think women scare from the most?
Dying, I would think.
As we all, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
yes,
yeah,
and you know what? Yeah. We all are going to. It's just unfortunate when you get any kind of illness, whatever it may be, you know, there's that fear. And I think what's important, or I should say what works for me, is once you confront the fear, that's going to permit you to move forward to fight. I do take no for an answer when I know I've been defeated or when I know that I've used all resources to get to where I am.
you know, the cancer came back, like I said, 10 years ago, and then it came back in 2011. And at some point I was, like, ready to throw in the towel, like, okay, again. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, you know what? Because of medical technology and all the wonderful things that are available to us in regards to resources, I'm not going to give up until I know I've done everything I possibly could. And there was a quote from this movie that just is coming out. I read it in the paper, and I don't remember the name of the movie. It's something like 12 Years of Slavery or something like that. And in it, there's a quote that says, I'm going to mess it up, but the premise of it is, I am not a survivor, or I'm not just surviving, I want to live.
Yeah.
And it is so true. You just want to live, and I think when you're confronted with that choice of living, you have to let all the fear and all the garbage and the wondering and the why me behind, because the future is ahead of you, and you have to be positive to get to the future. Otherwise, all that stuff, you know, is going to hold you back.
Yeah, and you can leave. Look at you. I mean, you look amazing. Now you have a hair.
You
look amazing. You're so sexy, and you still have it, all the treatment you're doing.
Well, yes, I finished chemotherapy. Like I said, all last year I did it twice a month for a year, and I finished in January because the tumor is gone, and I'm doing hormonal treatment, which for metastatic breast cancers, there's not a look-up diagnosis with regards to certain chemotherapies. So I'm on a drug that is used for pancreatic cancer. What they're doing is they're crossing over with different types of chemotherapy and hormones that are working for the type of illness that I have. So thank goodness, yes, I'm doing very well.
And I think Dr. Bill is right. I mean, you have this strength about you that I think is inspiring to a lot of women or even patients who may have this disease. And I can only imagine it's very difficult. You make it seem easier, but I can only imagine it's very difficult to overcome yet another obstacle, like you said earlier, that, again.
Yeah.
And how do you pull that strength up again and you apply it? And I think to hear that your story, and I hope, you know, if there's anybody out there listening and saying, and faced with another obstacle, and say, you know what, I can pull it.
Right.
You know, pull through this again.
Well, I'll never forget when the first time I got sick, one of my doctors had said to me, look, you're going to have your moments where you're going to want to cry. And you need to, because if you don't let those tears out or your frustration out, you're not going to walk through this on an easy course or even get through it. And, yeah, I have my moments. Trust me, you know, because of this illness, I haven't been able to have a family, which is all I wanted, to have children. That, you know, has been taken away from me, and I do know I have the choice of adoption, but I'll never experience what it's like to give birth, and that frustrates me and that haunts me a little bit. But in regards to other things, you have to process all this stuff and look at the bigger picture. And again, it's about living, and you know, my day may come and it may not even be from breast cancer. Let's hope not. You know, in the sense that,
you never know.
But I guess because of the work that I do. And it's my passion, that's what keeps me going. And when I get into that bad space, which I need to, because I have to reevaluate where I am, maybe I'm slacking off in my nutritional care, exercising, you know, little reminders, that fuels me to start the fight again.
So when you meet someone or have interacted with someone that, you know, is having a bad day or is in that lull, you know, you can recognize it because, you know, you've been there, and how do you get them to, you know, pull that hope up, bring it back?
Well, I guess let those feelings come in, like for me.
Mm-hmm.
I let them come in, but then I acknowledge them. I'm like, whoa, okay, that's enough.
Okay.
Because, you know, when I was doing my treatment and then I would be in bed 2 or 3 days, again, it's going back to being in tune with my body. I told my body, okay, you need to rest for 2 days. Or 3 days, or you need to, you know, we have to have diarrhea or vomit or whatever we need to do to get this poison out of me.
Right.
But at some point, I'm like, okay, that's enough. I would get dressed or go take a shower, which was sometimes very difficult to do, but I would tell myself, I'm not going to just lay here and let the cancer rule my life. So I guess, again, convincing yourself whatever it takes to get yourself into a positive
space.
Are
you always like this? Ever since you were a kid, you always have this
I don't know. I wouldn't know. I guess I don't know. My mom.
Your brother. You had brothers.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
my mom always said to me. My mom always said to me as a little girl, like when she tried to do my hair or do something for me, she said I would say I do it myself. So I guess so. Maybe.
That's great.
I just want to mention that I'm wearing a shirt. It's Kim Diane, and I'm not going to reveal the last name. I know she's listening there, and I hope you're inspired for Lisa's story. I met Diane a long time at one of the sport activity, and I know she just had the she has breast cancer. And I know she wants to talk, but not now. I know she's scared to talk. I know I asked her if she wants your phone number, and she said she's not ready. And you said to me what?
Well, when people always ask me to call their friends, I always say, you know what, I'd rather have them call me. Because I know what it's like being on the other end of the phone. And if that person is having a bad day or is in that lull space, the last thing they want to do is, A, talk to a stranger, and, B, talk about how things are going to get better. And for me, talking to someone like that makes me uncomfortable because we both know this isn't the right time.
Yeah.
So that's why I always feel, you know, there's that saying, when the patient is ready, the teacher is there, or when the student is there, you know,
mm-hmm.
ready. And that's how I feel about, you know, I will give my number to anybody. And it has happened. Women will call me when they feel that they're ready to ask questions or just talk to me or whatever the case may be, you know.
Yeah. But I know she's listening to the show, and I know that with hope, you know, your life not done. You don't finish when you have the breast cancer. You're still young, and you have a full life on you. You know, as you heard from Lisa, you can meet someone. You can be very sexy, as well, like Angelina Jolie and Lisa Bogart. You're so sexy. So if... one day you want to talk, one day you want Lisa a number, you know how to find her, because go to your website.
Well, the website for the fund is browardhealth.org/LisaBogartFund. But if you'd like to contact me personally, you can send an email to me directly at lisb4life@gmail.com, which is lisboy4life@gmail.com.
All of you, you can find, you can call us.
You can call CMS Room Wise at 954-783-9737 or send me an email at fbwise@wiselaw.com.
And Dr. Billy Eisenberg, 561-271-7106. And www.dreisenberg.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Family Power Hour, Right Stream, and you can go on the archives, find all the numbers, and if you have any question, don't hesitate to call, and let me give you the number to call to the show, 347-945-7246. And Lisa, you said something about November 10. What do you have for November 10?
Well, we just finished up a great month where we had lots of events for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We made new partnerships with new people and, you know, businesses in the community. And we're...
It doesn't end in October.
No, it doesn't. I always say breast cancer is not just during the month of October. We need, you know, awareness needs to be every month, every day.
It was a reason why October?
I don't know. I don't even know. I should look that up, how that came about.
Yeah.
But we have an event coming up on November 10th, which is a Sunday. It's our third annual poker run with motorcycles and classic cars. And for those of you that may not know what that is, it's you literally, if you're a cyclist, you drive to five different locations to play a hand of poker, which is a donation. And at the final destination, which is Tijuana Taxi in Coral Springs, we'll announce the winner. We have a band playing. We have some vendors. It is, want to call it a family event, because Tijuana Taxi, if you eat there that day, they will be giving back proceeds. We'll have the Panthers video gaming there. It's not your typical biker event. We don't do wet T-shirt contests. It's a very clean family event. But it's just amazing because the biker community really reaches out. And this year we're including antique cars. But like I said, if you don't have either one of them and you just want to come, please join us at Tijuana Taxi Sunday about 12:30 is when the motorcycles will be arriving. And if you want more information about it, you can also, I forgot to mention, I have a Facebook page. So my last name is spelled B-O-C-C-A-R-D. And the fund also has a Facebook page, which is the Lisa Bocard Breast Cancer Fund. Any upcoming events are always on either pages. And we have a 5K half marathon on March 29th that we're already registering for. We have people already registered. Someone from Puerto Rico. So,
send out the information, so we're going to post it to our Facebook. But if someone just wants, because what you're doing is amazing to help all these people, but somebody wants to donate money, how they can do it?
They can go to browerhealth.org, /Lisa Bocard Fund, or they can call 954-344-3005, and they'll be given additional information.
Can you repeat the number again, please?
954-344-3005.
All right, and it's a very important, and please, please donate money just to help to all the women that can't afford to go because they don't have a health insurance.
More information as to what other resources are available. And I think you mentioned that you have a support group or there's maybe some retreats or things like that. Can you explain?
Oh, well, I'm involved in something else as well. I'm involved with an organization called Women Beyond Cancer, and what we do is we go for someone like who might be dealing with pancreatic cancer and lives in Philadelphia. We have a 50-acre horse farm in South Carolina where they can come and we treat them. For the weekend, we also have retreat locations out west. But general information, you know, the internet is so resourceful that you've got so many different websites to go to. The Breast Cancer Foundation, American Cancer Society. I mean, just Google breast cancer, and they'll all come up.
Yeah, and we were just talking about the support group for women, for younger women at the hospital. So it's going to pick up.
We did have a support group at Broward Health Coral Springs, but unfortunately the moderator wasn't able to do it anymore, so we're currently trying to see if we can get Billy to help us. But we're trying to put together a new group, which is a meetup, not a support group.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have other wonderful organizations for those that live in where it's not just for the woman, the person dealing with the illness, you have the husband, the spouse, and even the kid. And it's so important. The work they do is wonderful. And
for younger women, this is very important because you told me that, you know, it's to be a breast cancer survivor, it's connected with the older people. So,
well, unfortunately, younger women are being diagnosed. The last person that, you know, was a positive screening was 29, like myself, but we also screened, believe it or not, a 12-year-old. Her parents' insurance would not pay for the testing, which she needed an ultrasound. And she heard, you know, the family heard about our organization, and, you know, we went through the screening process, and we had to do an ultrasound to a 12-year-old.
I'm curious, 12 years, how come 12 years just diagnosed? I mean, just...
She didn't have breast cancer, but she had fibrocystic breast already at 12. She had, like, fatty tissue in her breast. And, I mean, that's way too young.
Yes.
So many, unfortunately, so many women, and again, you go back and you had asked me earlier, if you don't carry the gene, how did you get the cancer? Why is it happening? Who can explain that in 20-year-olds?
Right.
Early 20-year-olds. So.
And again, back to the BRCA gene. You know, you can find out you're gonna have a breast cancer, but you, or not, and you can have a cancer another place. So it's you know, it's very not sure what you need to do. It's the same with Angelina Jolie. Her aunt died with another cancer. So it's not for sure that you know.
What are the core steps or core pieces of information to prevent breast cancer? Like, I know not smoking is a big one for...
Well, your health. You know, you want to eat have a healthy lifestyle, and that includes exercise and the food that you put into your mouth. And
no fried foods, no oils.
Yeah, we've all heard it from Dr. Oz to everybody. You know, with all the information that's provided to us now via social media and television, I mean, they're pounding it into our heads, which we need. How did we get to where we are as a society? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like this has been a secret that somebody's been hiding, like eating vegetables and exercising. I mean, some schools don't even do, you know, gym anymore, which is hard to believe and sad.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for women, doing breast health exam. It's early detection.
Yeah. Okay. So breast,
yeah. breast health exam.
Healthy eating,
exercising, and just paying attention. Don't go without your yearly gynecological checkup or, you know, seeing your physician for blood work. I mean, it's simple stuff. I think I mentioned this to you or maybe someone else, Billy. Like, I was comparing ourselves to a car.
Yeah.
Why do some people take such good care of their cars or don't get dirt in my car?
Right.
And they're cleaning it all the time, but yet you say to them, did you have your mammogram? Oh, well, 5 years.
Yeah.
And like, all right, go put the car away and check yourself into, you know, an appointment.
It's very good.
What's
analogy.
The difference between the mammogram and the ultrasound?
The ultrasound is, well, again, I'm not a
nurse. I know that. I'm not just a procedure. You can
well,
see
they
more.
Well,
they
take
a
probe or something on
but
the breast.
But they can see more the ultrasound. I mean, what's better?
I don't know.
No, we had a question. That's what's the best, is ultrasound or mammogram?
Well, I know from my own experience
when
I do my own mammograms and they see something more suspicious, then they take me in for an ultrasound immediately, and I guess that gives them a better clarity, I would assume. But for that question, I would say, again, I always say Google it, but that information is out there.
The question.
Or ask your doctor.
So when, as we say, that what you eat, just live a healthy life, and check yourself every day or every week.
The breast health exam you should do once a month.
Once a month.
Right.
And go to see a mammogram, ultrasound, every year,
Well, depending, you know, again, what your insurance will allow you. Again, the American Cancer Society says 40. But if you have a family history or a suspicion, obviously if you have a suspicion, contact your doctor right away. If you feel a lump, you know, I don't know how it would go from there, what the doctor will do, but, you know, call someone right away.
And rather to be mistaken and not regret, if you feel that you have something, even if it's nothing, just go. And force your physician to do everything, even if just mistake, but just go and take care of yourself. I want you to repeat again about November 10th. It's very important.
November 10th, we'll be having our third annual Pink Tata Poker Run.
Yeah.
And it'll be ending, it will be starting at JD's Bar and Lounge on Sample Road, and we'll be ending at Tijuana Taxi. Some of the other locations that you can pick up your cards at will be Choppers.
What time on Sample Road? I'm sorry.
First, as they say, first bike in is 9 o'clock, and last bike out, which means when we, you know, stop the draw at JD's is 11 o'clock. And then everybody will be reuniting at Tijuana Taxi in Coral Springs on Atlantic and University about 12:30. And the other stops will include Chopper Zoo, 4:30 Boardroom, Extreme Indoor Karting, and then they wrap it up at Tijuana Taxi.
That's
it's fun.
Great.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun, and we should go. I mean, and everybody needs to go. How we can help you to our audience besides the money, what's the best for us to do?
Well, I think one of the important things is just let people know we're out there. Word of mouth is everything. And again, because of social medias and shows like this, you're able to share with other people. You may know someone that doesn't have insurance and has some concern. We have this great story that we're very proud of. One of our volunteers sells security alarms, and she went to someone's house and started talking about her business, you know, getting an alarm, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then somehow the conversation evolved into that she volunteers for our organization. And the woman's like, well, my gosh, I have a niece who's 29 years old, has felt a lump. No one will see her. Nobody would even let her come, even if she paid with, you know, they were going to put all their money together to pay cash.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would screen her because of her age.
Wow.
And because of that, she came through the fund, and she had a positive screening. And she's alive a year later.
Wow.
You know, it was early detection. She did have a lump, and it was a lumpectomy. And one thing that we're very proud of about the fund is, because of our relationship with Broward Health, any money raised, whether it's $1 to $1,000, it all goes to the patient. The hospital incurs all the administration costs, which with other organizations, you don't have that because they have expenses.
Yeah.
But we don't, and we're so grateful to be partnered with Broward Health because of that relationship.
So please, please donate money because it's very important, and we need to finish soon. It's so quick. So I just want to say something totally different, and next week it's your anniversary.
Yes, I will not be with all of you this next week.
We
sorry.
And we have Mr. Paul Beer, and the topic is music. What music to the family? What music? It's when you have a wedding. It's a music, music, music. And I'm Dr. Billy Eisenberg. I'm family clinical psychologist, family therapist here in Boca, 561-271-7106.
And I am Sheena Benjamin-Wise, your family law attorney in South Florida, 954-783-9737. And thank you so much, Lisa, for coming out and sharing with us.
And before she says thank you, just again, the numbers and your website. It's so important. Yes, I'm sorry, but it's important.
No, yeah. I appreciate it. Again, this is part of the getting the message out. The website is BrowardHealth.org/LisaBocartFund, F-U-N-D, for information in regards to either making a donation or finding out how to qualify for a screening. You can call 954-344-3344, or you can personally email me at leaseb4life@gmail.com, and I thank you both so much for having me this evening.
It was our pleasure.
Helping me share.
With our pressure. Okay. All the information is going to be in our Family Power, our website, and it's you can go to the archive. It's White Stream Radio, and you can listen to the show.
This is the Family Power Hour. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a great evening.
Thank you, and be safe and be well.